Don't go AFK on us.
Follow us online at checkpointxp.com.
Checkpoint AFK.
Welcome to Checkpoint AFK on B-Pod Studios, the place to be for podcast discovery. This is Checkpoint XP's lifestyle show from cosplay to consoles. We cover everything you care about when you're away from your keyboard. Joining me today, my name's Nate Bender. Joining me is Weird Beard. We've got Joe Sloan, Chad Callahan, hey. And Norris Howard.
What's up?
Today on Checkpoint AFK, we're going to be talking about the recently released Final Fantasy VII Remake trailer.
Ooh.
And is Square Enix, is Final Fantasy as a game series uniquely positioned to be able to comment on issues of gender identity? It's going to be an interesting conversation. Buckle up, because we're going to have some fun.
I'll tell you what, when I think of gender identity, there's no one I look to first for their opinion before Square Enix.
Sweaty nerds.
We like to start this show off with Apple Podcast reviews, and we actually had one left over from last time.
So let's do it.
But are there any new ones?
There are no new ones!
Oh, well, you guys.
Weird Beard has accurately identified the problem here. There are no new reviews for us to read. We have one from Von Slamstone that we haven't read.
Okay.
But listen, we need some reviews to read here on the show.
Otherwise, the cat we have in the back is going to get killed.
No.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no? We're not
doing that?
I don't think we're going that route.
Don't right. touch the cat.
No.
Bad.
All right, never mind.
Is that what the bag was that you brought in?
Shh.
Oh, my God.
I wonder why it growled at me.
So, while we don't have any new Apple Podcast reviews for Checkpoint AFK, we do have a new Apple Podcast review for Checkpoint XP on campus.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's nice.
Can we do both?
We can do both.
Yay! Because
that's the kind of crazy shit we do here on Checkpoint AFK.
Whatever right. we want.
That's yeah. right.
Ask.
So our first review is coming to us, the on-campus review coming to us from Class the Claws.
Okay. Class the Claws. Okay.
Like Santa or independent?
It's
cat.
It's K-L-A-S.
Okay.
All right, cool.
Class right. the Claws.
No, that's like the German Santa Claus.
Klaus.
Yeah.
Klaus. Okay. Whatever you say. He says he loves it.
Ooh. Yeah!
Thank you, class.
Macho.
Five-star review.
Five.
God damn.
I love this podcast. So useful for the average 14-year-old pro gamer and helps looking for colleges.
See?
Hey.
That's exactly what that's meant.
That's what that's for.
Yes, exactly. I have to say that I got really excited when I read that review because I was like, that's literally who we program this show
that's
for.
That's right.
So, glad you're enjoying the show. Thank you for the review. Be like class and go leave us a review. Checkpoint XP on campus. Really, any of our podcasts.
That's right.
We have so many and new podcasts coming soon, like in the next couple of weeks.
Or like hours.
Uh-oh.
Or hours.
Uh-oh.
In some cases.
Uh-oh.
So, our
stay fucking tuned.
That's right. Our second review comes to us, of course, from Von Slamstone.
Long time listener.
Five star review. Says, subscribe if you like good things. I dare you.
Hey, I like
I'm
that.
With it.
I like it.
It's really simple.
I like the threat in there, too.
Goes on to say, these humans will provide you with hours upon hours of great entertainment and thoughtful discussions. With Nate's craggy aging punk ways.
Damn.
Norris's bougie real talk stylings.
Of course.
Not bad.
Robbie's cringeworthy dad jokes.
Facts. Yep.
Joe's dichotomy between being your truest self and relating to the normies.
Okay.
The group dynamic is full of pure friendship and honest opinions. Hell, they made a positive podcast dedicated to Fallout 76 during the height of hate on Bethesda. The introduction of Chris and Weirdbeard. I don't know who Chris is.
I think they keep fucking up my name.
They do keep Chris. Fucking up your name.
That's the second one in a row where they don't even remember
Chris.
My name.
It could be Skuro, right?
I don't think it's Skuro.
I mean,
it's
I wouldn't think Skuro. So, but
hashtag no. Chris emote. We need a Chris emote now.
I think that should be
fine,
Chad. That should be your new alter ego.
Underneath,
you know. Actually, that's what you should do. You know how like Garth Brooks had the alter ego, where he would just take his hair and do it the other way.
Nah, my hair only goes one way.
Oh, okay,
well, I got.
I know that feel, Chad. If my hair too only goes,
I don't know
one
how
way.
You'd even do your hair.
Who do you think you look like, Chad? If you weren't Chad, who are you?
Are you
when
around?
You look at your face,
what name?
What name? Yeah,
wait,
would you be?
Hang on. Who has anyone ever told you you look like a celebrity?
It's funny enough, someone, and I was actually put back by it in a good way.
Okay,
Chris Angel. So Chris,
yes,
mind free.
Yes, you fucking look like Chris Angel.
So if
we put you in some mascara and eyeliner,
really long, nice hair,
all black, nice hair. Though. Yeah. Jet black, and we put a bunch of rings on you.
Yeah,
and a bunch of rings, and we dress you like Dave Navarro. You are
that's
Chris
pretty
Angel.
Much it. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess shit. I have. It's like a little less awkward than a super crush.
Are you Chris Angel? Or are you just making
this
a magic
is the
trick
biggest
right now?
Magic trick he's ever done.
Mind
I mean, I've
freak.
Ever done.
Mind freak. Chris Angel : esports.
Joe, have you ever been told that you look like a celebrity?
Yeah, just Willem Dafoe.
That's right.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, specifically, it was the drowned corpse of Willem Dafoe. Yeah.
God
so,
damn.
So, like, after he's been in a river for a while.
So
I think you tend to bloat when you drown like that.
Yeah, he was telling me I look like fat Willem Dafoe, which, I mean, if anything's going to turn the ladies on, clearly.
Sexy.
Says the married guy in the room.
What about you, Weirbeard?
No. I mean, I've gotten, like, the fat lead singer from Death Cab, whatever his
really?
Name is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fuck, what is his name? I don't remember his name.
Ben.
Yes, Ben, whatever.
I don't know.
My girlfriend loves Death Cab.
Yeah, and it was like a girl who was like trying to like pillow talk me who said that. And I was like,
you look like the guy from Death Cab.
Yeah, like that shit is not. Thanks.
That's not hot.
Awesome.
You look like a curtain jerker from the mid 2000s WWE.
Yeah.
Just some geek who got fed to Braun Strowman.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't want to look like a celebrity because they just don't look like real people to me. So
that's fair.
If I had, like, if I have to be ugly because I'm not a celebrity, I'm all about it.
Norris, you ever get that?
Nah, not really, man.
No.
Not really. There's only like, there's like six black celebrities that people say other people look like. And
how
I don't
many
look
of them
like
have dreads.
And I don't, it, right. How many have dreads?
All right.
Right?
So hold up. It's,
or glasses.
All right.
Or glasses.
Six black celebrities that people say people look like.
Yes. It sounds like a bad TV game show. It's like,
six black celebrities.
Yes.
On the board.
And they're all.
Oh, my God. I always got Corey Feldman. And I don't know why.
Oh, no.
It's not a good one to get.
No.
Not a good one to get.
I'm sorry.
Corey Feldman, that's rough.
So this was when I was working at Flipside Records in Clawson. And I'm just behind the counter. This random person walks in and goes, you know who you look like? You look like that guy that was in The Lost Boys. And I'm thinking like,
it was like all
what?
Of like 20 guys.
Sean Astin?
Like, hey, here I am hoping for like Kiefer Sutherland or something, and no, it's Corey Feldman. Yeah. God
you
damn
know,
it.
It says a lot about like when you grew up, where you know Corey Feldman from.
That's true.
Facts.
That's true.
Like, so is it for you, is it Lost Boys for you?
Goonies, actually, Goonies? Was probably where I first.
I mean, my context was for Corey Feldman was the Michael Jackson stuff.
Yeah, Corey and Corey. Mm. Who was the other Corey that he was?
Corey
like?
Haim. The dead one.
Dude, why? I just wish I had a, not a doppelganger, but somebody that share my name and just we could go around and fuck shit up because it's like Rick and Rick. Yeah, I feel like you can get away with whatever you want as long as you have a body double
like,
with you.
Oh, no. I was about to say, there's like a Rick and Rick in the morning or something like that, but there's a Mike and Mike in the morning.
Yeah, there yes. is.
I feel
yeah.
weird. I know Corey Feldman from Friday the 13th, part 4.
What?
That's because you was in that?
Because you're like, he was years old.
He's like, he's like a 10, 11 year old kid who like makes like monster props and he ends up like beating Jason to death at the end of the movie.
Oh. Mm.
Yo, them shit's
apparently. Fun fact. Fun fact.
Fun fact, he killed somebody.
The fourth one wasn't a great movie.
No, but when he was like doing that, he's just yelling like, die at Jason. He was apparently picturing the director's face when he was doing that.
Very nice.
Hated the director.
I'm sure he did.
I hated him though. So.
I mean, a lot of people after the movie hated the director. So let's be honest.
His most recent career arc is probably the most disturbing one. His band. Have you seen his band?
No, I've not seen his band.
His band. His band is made up entirely of like women who are like nines and tens. Who everyone I'm pretty sure has like decided that he's like a cult leader now, and he's brainwashed these poor women.
Fuck yeah, he went the R. Kelly route. And just said,
I was gonna say this sounds
about to
suspicious. We've seen this before.
He made it his on stage act.
Why would you not, though? Listen, I'm so hideous. Like, the fact that a woman has ever touched me in her life is regrettable on their part. So, if I am in a position of power, and they go, Rick, you get to make a band of whoever you want. Because it's not like he's making a band because people are telling him that he's so musically talented.
No, this is Corey Feldman.
Yeah, this is literally just an exercise in jerking yourself off.
Yeah.
So, go make your dream team. What would you pick? Am I going to go to the light and be like, you know who I want? Find me a woman who's worked in a coal mine for the past 10 years. Fuck no. Like, I will take.
No, you go the Prince route. You make Vanity 6.
Yes.
That's what you do.
Like, I'm ugly. Put somebody good looking on there. It's got to balance out at some point.
Yeah, facts.
You think Corey Feldman's sitting around thinking that he's ugly?
Yes. Hey, you know, Sia makes a career out of that. She just stands there, and there's a little girl that just, like, beautifully dances in front of her entire, like, concert. So, hell, that works.
Okay.
Facts. See? Nate's the only one that sits there's like, no, I just want only ugly motherfuckers in my band.
Yeah. I want people who can play the instrument.
Yeah, that's why you're not going to make any
money. That's why you're not
going to
make no money.
That's why you're not in music.
Nate, you thought this shit was about musicianship? You on some other shit. Really? You going to get on stage with you and six other bearded motherfuckers and think people going to show up?
People show up.
No.
They show up.
No.
People go to metal concerts and punk shows all the time.
You know who can play an instrument? My brother. You know how much money he makes playing music? None.
Somebody said they...
It said something when the most talented musician I know recently like started taking medical classes on how to do x-rays. You know?
Exactly,
like, literally, this dude is so talented to the point where he could pick up any instrument. He'd never seen it before and instantly know how to play a Cogent song.
Was this the same guy that jumped into the grease?
No.
When you guys were at school?
No.
Oh, okay. Different guy.
Yes.
Okay.
Very different guy.
Dave knows a lot of weird people.
Yeah, no, I'll just be trying to make the stories line up, I guess.
Somebody
sometimes.
In the chat said that they know Corey Feldman from playing Donatello.
Yeah, he was Donatello in the in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
the
movie.
Live action one?
Yeah.
What?
He was? Yeah.
Wait, really?
I don't know. To be honest, I have zero memory of that.
Well, yeah, of course.
He's actually Donatello. They transformed him into a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
I didn't think he, like, crawled up inside the puppet. I'm just...
crawled up inside it.
Crawled up inside it? Nothing. No, he literally injected himself with radioactive ooze and became the turtle.
Corey, baby, I got a gig for you. Come here.
You
this is
going to
be
first.
Look up
what Corey Feldman looks like at the end of Friday the 13th Part 4. He's not far from a Ninja Turtle, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, so he definitely did play Donatello. He's the voice cast for him.
All right, here's the question for the room.
No one else in there is a recognizable actor, though.
No. Hey, by the way, was I correct in thinking that Casey Jones has never been in another movie ever? Because
we looked this up, and no, he hasn't.
Elias Cotes is his name.
Yeah, that name everyone knows and loves. Yeah.
Hello, my name is Elias.
He's actually been in a shitload of
has
movies.
Has he?
So, yeah, just nothing you've ever
that's
seen.
What I'm
okay,
saying,
yeah.
You ever seen?
Here's my question in the room. Your phone rings.
He was in Look Who's Talking To.
Oh, great!
Shut the fuck up, for real.
I guess that really says it all, doesn't it?
He was in Hit Me in 1996.
What the fuck?
Hit
Me?
That?
Yeah. Lost Souls in 2000. I'm just...
I get random things at this point.
Actually, you know what? He was in Apt Pupil in 1998. That's
okay,
actually
that
a movie. That's a movie I know. He was in Gattaca in 97.
Gattaca was
fucked
up.
He was in...
Wait, he was in Gattaca?
Yeah, he was in 1996's Crash, which is a great movie, actually.
Oh, 96's Crash.
Yeah, not the Oscar baiting.
No, the other one.
Howard racist one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was about to be like, wait a minute, what? Okay, I got you.
All right, so
the David Cronenberg movie.
Got it.
Yeah, any Cronenberg is going to be right up Nate's alley.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday night, your phone rings, and you pick it up. You go, hello? And the guy on the other line goes, hey, it's Corey Feldman. I want to hang out with you tonight on Saturday. Are you telling him that you'll hang out with him or no?
Fuck no!
Not even out of curiosity?
No. First of all, how the fuck did Corey Feldman get my number? Second of all, absolutely not. I'm not hanging out with Corey Feldman.
The Chappelle show where Dave Chappelle hangs out with Wayne Brady.
Yes.
I am picturing that's what it turns into.
Wait, Chad's in.
It's even worse for me because I apparently look like him. So the entire time I'm going to be like,
twins,
when is he going to kill me and use me for his fake dead body?
He's going to kill someone and blame you.
Nate's going to be in the back.
That's the other option.
You're just going to be like, can you please call me Corey too? Can we please be Corey and Corey? Just please.
I want to do the Corey and Corey thing again. Come on, man, please.
So you're going to be what, Corey Hain with the other Corey?
Yeah.
Corey and Corey.
Oh, man. I could do a Strangers on the Train version of Corey Feldman, right? Like meet him on the train and then exchange murders. Do that.
Yeah.
I love it.
Somebody in the chat,
one will suspect a thing.
No, somebody in the chat said that him and Corey Feldman would definitely be getting coked up, which I don't think is too far outside of the
truth. No. Yeah, that sounds like exactly what the fuck would happen.
So Corey Feldman, Macaulay Culkin, who else can you get coked up with? Who's on that line?
RDJ, Robert Downey Jr. if he leaves his wife at home.
Well, RDJ is circa 2002?
Yes, yeah. Time Machine, Robert Downey Jr.
Hey, okay. Listen, I'm not so sure that he's not back on the fucking wagon again.
Dr. Doolittle?
The dragon enema scene? Yeah. Come on, dude. Apparently, from notes on the set, it came from him.
I know.
Where else do you get that idea outside of cocaine? I don't have an answer for that. By the way, the guy that played Casey Jones was also in Shutter Island. This guy had a prolific acting career after he did Casey Jones.
A prolific acting career of movies that people saw in college.
Or on a plane.
Can anybody think of an actor that they've seen in a million movies, but they have no idea who they are?
Yes.
Isn't there an entire movie about this? Like, there was a Netflix special about this.
There's a special about this. What the... oh, my God. What is his name?
That's the point.
The guy who always plays the Mexican dude, the Mexican guy. He's always an Arab guy and a Mexican guy. He's in every movie.
He's in both Two-Headed and Three-Headed Shark Attack.
Yes! He always has like a mustache, and then sometimes he doesn't.
Yeah,
and
he's always Danny Trejo.
No, not Danny Trejo. Everybody
fucking knows Danny Trejo.
Danny Trejo is a legend and an icon.
What the fuck, Danny Trejo?
You say so.
Danny Trejo was in fucking King of the Hill.
Hold on, right. I watched. He had a movie. He had Machete.
I
just want to say I haven't clicked on this Wikipedia link yet.
Okay,
I just googled go to Mexican actor. And I'm going to click on it and look at this picture.
Antonio Banderas.
We're going to see if this is who I believe that it is. It's not.
Who is it?
Is it the bald Mexican guy?
Yes.
He has 80 movies that he's in, and his name is Hector in all of them. Look at his IMDb.
Let me see this face.
That's not him either.
I think he was in he was in The Mask of Zorro, and his name was Hector in that.
Dog, listen to
Pretty
me.
Sure you're
listen to me.
On
just go
one.
To train today. The guy who put Denzel Washington, who put Ethan Hawke in the bathtub,
hold on,
and
yes.
is about to shoot
yes,
him.
Yes, that's him.
That guy is in so many movies.
Noel Guglielmi.
Then there's a reason that we don't know his name.
Yeah. This is the guy, right? We're gonna
flip it around.
Oh my God! Find a picture of him. What are we doing?
Wikipedia, come on. I've seen him in everything.
No, that's the guy who's always Hector. The guy in the picture directly to his left is the guy I'm talking about.
Oh, Cliff Curtis. He's in a bajillion movies.
I never knew. How the fuck is his name Cliff Curtis?
Here's a shocking thing.
He changed his name, probably.
He's from New Zealand.
Wait, let me see this picture.
Yo, what the fuck? How's that man
a
Kiwi?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
See? perfect example of what the fuck we were just talking about. None of you knew that motherfucker's name was Cliff.
No, I would have never guessed Cliff.
All right. Well, that was a really weird aside. Glad we got through that.
About?
We're going to talk about Final Fantasy VII. And is it in a unique position to talk about gender identity?
And how many weird Mexican actors does it have in?
That's right.
None of them was Mexican. One of us from here and the others from New Zealand.
Neither of them Mexican.
We got a lot to talk about. Stick around. That's coming up here on Checkpoint AFK.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Esports is the fastest growing area in collegiate athletics, and Checkpoint XP on campus keeps you up to speed on all the exciting action.
From varsity and club esports tournaments to college curriculums focused on gaming, each week, Checkpoint XP on campus brings you more than just stats and scores.
We're digging to school rivalries, scouting, scholarships, and talking with players and coaches.
Catch new episodes of Checkpoint XP on campus Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
And on demand 24/7 on YouTube, Twitch, radio.com, and always at CheckpointXP.com.
Catch new episodes of Checkpoint XP on campus Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and on demand 24/7 on YouTube, Twitch, radio.com, and always at CheckpointXP.com.
Checkpoint XP on campus, the show for collegiate video gaming and esports.
Don't go AFK on us.
Follow us online at CheckpointXP.com.
Checkpoint AFK.
Welcome back to Checkpoint AFK on B-Pod Studios, the place to be for podcast discovery. We're going to be talking about the Final Fantasy VII remake trailer that was recently released, and whether or not, you know, Final Fantasy as a game series is kind of uniquely positioned to discuss issues of gender identity and even sexuality.
Yeah.
And this is a really interesting topic because, you know, Final Fantasy as a genre or as a game series has really had, you know, for a long time been, you know, making characters that are very androgynous. Mm-hmm. Who's, you know, Final Fantasy IX villain whose gender is
Cujo.
It's not defined at all.
Even Quinn was always questionable in that too.
Yeah, Quina, literally, they don't give a gender for that character.
On purpose. Yeah. Yeah. It's even in the booklet.
Do they ever even refer to Quina as her?
No.
It. Interesting.
It.
All right. First of all, let's just talk about the trailer itself, because I'm starting to have some concerns about this game. Outside of all of the stuff at the Honeybee, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
We also got a probably our best look at the game to date in terms of what's going to be contained narratively inside of the game.
Correct.
We've seen Red 13.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen a couple of characters, minor characters that are getting
Shinra characters.
Yes, that are getting fleshed out into more, more
significant.
Yes, significant characters. The chick in the red dress who uses the guy as the footstool.
Yeah, Scarlet.
Right. And then, you know, we've got entirely new characters altogether. The guy who's harassing the Avalanche crew, for lack of a better term.
He looks like a soldier reject.
Yeah. And he's on a motorcycle, which makes me think that motorcycles are going to actually play a way bigger part in this game and in this world than it did in the first time. I don't know how to feel about all of that. because it feels like they're really changing so much about the core of Final Fantasy VII that I love.
But see, I like that though. I don't want this to be just a retread, right? And we know it couldn't, because it's based on just really the first third of the first disc. So there's no way you could build a whole entire 60-70 hour game around that. So you gotta flesh it out. There's gonna be a ton of new stuff. There's gonna be a ton of new locales, ton of new things going on, more enemies, more character development. And I actually appreciate that, because for me, having Shinra as sort of like that first antagonist was great.
Sure.
Because of how the game opens, how it's set up, the sort of, you know, the greedy corporation and da 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 da. But it felt very empty. It felt like these people were just like, they were just caricatures of evil corporate people. And we knew that later on down the line, there's no way that they would be the final villains, because they didn't even get the development to even, you couldn't even think of them becoming final villains, right? In Final Fantasy VI, you saw enough of Kefka to where when he turns into the primary villain, it makes more sense, because you saw it trickle throughout the rest of the story. It's like, dude, you go to Shinra headquarters once, you see these people like twice, and that's about it. That's about it. You see Rufus Shinra grand total 3 times in that game.
Yeah.
His name's on the fucking building.
I mean, clearly there's more to flesh out in Midgard, like going to any of the other sections of Midgard.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a big aspect of that game that never really got fleshed out, right? Like, yeah, you got to go to the playground and then like
the Sector 6 slum.
That's about it.
That's
though.
About
you don't
it.
Get to go to any of the other sectors.
And Wall Market.
So like, I feel like they could have expanded Midgard a little bit more. I don't know about a new character, because when you throw in a new character, now that's a whole new dynamic that you have to work with. I'm okay with them fleshing out existing relationships and existing characters. I'm okay with them fleshing out Shinra even more, because you're right, that's only a very brief portion of the game that we're even introduced to those characters or their motivations.
Yeah.
But now we've got an entirely new character. We don't know his name. We don't know his motivations. We don't know his affiliations. Is he a new Avalanche member? Is he a new Shinra member?
More.
Is he a soldier?
I'm okay with
Give
that.
Give me more.
I'm okay with that.
I think, but that's ridiculous.
But even
though.
think about how like Biggs and Wedge and Jesse aren't fleshed out as characters, so when they meet their untimely demise, you don't care. Nobody cares, because you talked to them a grand total 3 times.
That's fine. Go expand on all of those characters all you want, but now you have to work in a new dynamic.
Yeah, that's
not
fine.
Not just between this character and whoever the player is controlling, but between this character and all of the other characters.
That's awesome.
There's also another big concern that I have. The very final shot of the trailer seems to be evil air whooshing around the Shinra headquarters, which is not a scene that ever happened in Final Fantasy VII.
And I'm gonna just stop
and
you there.
No. And it seems like they're building towards a bigger threat than Shinra.
Well, to be fair,
obviously, Nate.
To be fair, a lot of stuff in Final Fantasy VII, if I remember correctly, they wanted to add more, and then they just released it. So maybe these are the things that they had in notes and stuff that they're adding.
But
to
that,
it later.
No. But that's,
I don't know.
No, but I mean, Chad has a point. How many times have we seen in development for RPGs that there's always more that game directors want to put into the game? That always happens with every game.
This seems like a threat outside of Genova, right? Like
we don't know if that was Genova.
Come on, man.
You fight Genova in this game.
Yeah, I know, but like, why would Genova have evil swirly mist?
Why would Genova be a disembodied alien head? Like, we don't
because
know.
That's what it's, it is.
But it's
that's
stupid.
That's the origin
but the,
of
but
it,
the
though.
Point is that you suspend your disbelief, Nate. You're asking too much of this right now. Like, that's how I feel. Enjoy the shit.
No, I here's what I feel. I feel they're building towards another, you know, like another bad. The first third of the game, the bad guy, squarely needs to be Shinra. It has to be Shinra. Yeah. It can't be Sephiroth. It can't be fucking Genova. So if those elements are being inserted before they're supposed to occur in the actual story itself,
yeah,
I think that that's a narrative problem. We've already seen Sephiroth play some sort of role in this first third. We don't know exactly what role, but my concern is actually that they're going to be using plot points that were introduced in things like Crisis Core and Before Crisis and all of these ancillary materials and start rolling them in as if I'm supposed to know or care about any of them.
I love that.
Advent Children was the wackest thing Square Enix ever put out.
Here's what you do. You have all that bullshit that they spent the last 10 years making, and they say, you know what? So much of it people didn't like because it was so disjointed. Now, what do? We have an opportunity to make it right. We have an opportunity to reintroduce these elements in a way that is satisfactory. So why don't we do it with one game? We put this game out and we release it and we start introducing those elements so they don't feel so sudden when we do an Advent Children. It was like, Genova shouldn't even be able to do that because you never introduced that in the first place. So now with this, you can start breadcrumbing stuff in to show exactly what it is that Genova is capable of. I think that's smart.
That ruins what made Final Fantasy VII special the first time I played it.
I disagree.
Star Wars kind of did it where they were like, oh, this is canon, but this isn't. And we could pick and choose. I mean, I don't see why Final Fantasy VII can do the same thing.
Because I just think that that's lazy. I think that's lazy storytelling. I think that that's lazy writing. You can go back and retcon things whenever you fucking feel it doesn't matter if it makes sense. We'll make it make sense later. Is the worst,
are you telling me,
worst writing device ever?
Are you telling me that there is not massive amounts of Final Fantasy VII story and side stories that don't need to be retconned? Because there's a lot.
No, I don't.
Advent Children itself, the whole fucking thing should be retconned.
No,
retcon the shit out of existence.
Advent Children shouldn't exist. I thought that was the worst thing that they ever did with the final. Vin, start with an entirely clean slate. Why reference all of this other shit? Why reference all of this like canonical nonsense that orbits around the main story? Why start rolling that stuff
in? Because we can make it right this time.
No, you can't. Because it's Square Enix, and they can't. Can't do anything
anyway.
Right. They can't do anything right.
I disagree with you.
No, they're gonna blow this for sure. I don't know. I have a lot of concerns around the core storytelling aspects of the Final Fantasy VII remake. None of the trailers have addressed it. They've made me even more concerned every time I see a new one. And I don't know, man. I'm out. I'm not gonna buy this game at all.
Nate's one of those people who's gonna be mad when this game comes out and everybody's talking about how amazing it is, and then he's gonna come to me. I know how this works. He's gonna come to me like 4 months later and he's like, man, I think I'm gonna go ahead and get the Final Fantasy.
When have I done that?
And then
name one time I've actually done that.
I know you're gonna do this.
Name one time I've done it.
I know you're gonna do this. I know he's gonna do this.
Based on what?
What?
Based on what?
My opinion.
When have I ever done that?
I don't need an example.
When have I ever made an...
I'm not basing this off of any previous thing. I'm saying this game is going to be so good.
No, it's not.
That you're going to play it. That you're going to see it.
That's a bold prediction that has no basis in fact.
Robbie, who is an even bigger skeptic of this game than you, who loves Final Fantasy VII dearly, right? Didn't even want this game to be made because he loves Final Fantasy VII so much. Don't mess with the things I love. He got his hand on this game, and I looked dead in his eye as I'm standing right next to him, and I saw his expression go from deeply critical and progressively soften the more he played the game. And by the time the demo was over, he turned to me and he goes, man, it's really good.
Oh, okay, so it's guys can be rubes, then that's fine.
It's not being
that's
a
fine.
Rube.
You're gonna waste $130 on this game by the time all three parts come out.
And if I'm entertained,
and it's
I'm
gonna
cool
be
with
a
that.
Fucking waste.
And if I'm entertained,
it's
I'm
all
cool
waste.
With that.
All
you right. Play Fallout 76. Shut the fuck up.
It's a better game than this is gonna be.
It's not.
It's not even gonna tell a cogent story. It's not setting itself up to tell a cogent story.
76 doesn't tell a cogent story.
You don't know. You've never played it.
Yes, I have.
You never tried to play the actual story.
I've played 20 hours.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, we have another part of this to talk about, which is why Chad and Joe were here before you got on your high horse about some bullshit.
Why? Because I have concerns about the way that the story is going to be told.
There's nothing to be concerned about.
There's a lot to be concerned about.
I won't take much from these trailers, though. I don't think there's enough substance in any of the trailers that they showed for me to make a discerning, like, great or bad.
It's a trailer.
Name me a Final or a Square Enix trailer that's ever had any real bearing or resemblance of what the game was.
But, and that's my point.
It's never happened. When's the last time you saw a FF14 trailer that accurately depicted what we were going to see when we actually got to play?
The 14 trailers do, because they tell you exactly what the fuck you about to play. For the patches, yeah, they do.
Name another time that Square Enix went back to a game, remade it, and changed story elements.
Well, nobody's done that.
I don't think yet.
Square Enix
hasn't done it. Final Fantasy hasn't done it. I'm sure that somebody has done it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can't recall any AAA developer going back and even when 14 blew their game up, they didn't change story elements. The shit that happened in 1.0 happened.
Yeah.
And then they blew it up and started over. But it happened.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think anybody's done it.
I'm trying to think of any game that's
Nobody's done it. So
you're just going to blindly accept that Square Enix is going to be able to navigate those complex waters?
Yeah.
That's way more faith in that development studio than I have ever had.
That's fine. I just look at it like this, dude.
Square Enix has no historical, like, there's nothing that tells me
You're holding them to, at this point, to a standard that nobody's ever defined because nobody's done it before.
I mean, in all of the Resident Evil remakes, like, if they started adding characters in there, you would be majorly concerned.
Not really.
Really?
No.
Why? If they took Mia Jovovich's character from Resident Evil and suddenly, not there in the 2 remake, but she's there in the 3 remake, don't tell me you wouldn't be concerned.
Well, she's not a good character, so that's a bad example.
Timeline wise,
you don't know that this character's a good character. He wears a motorcycle.
No, but I have to play.
That's it. That's the only fucking thing that you know about.
But I have to play it before I make that assessment.
It's gonna be garbage.
I can't make that assessment before I play it. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just it's something that no one has done. You're right. But I don't think that Square Enix has the acumen to be able to pull it off. I think
if there is one game that they would know that they have to get right, is this one. Period. That's how I feel.
They said that about 15. They said
No.
Internally, yeah. Oh, they absolutely did. They said that about 14. They said that about 13 and all the 3 games that they spun off.
I'm not talking about what they said. I'm talking about what they are doing. Okay? And I feel internally they know the fate of the company itself may ride on this game.
Nah, I don't see that.
I think it does. Because if the money that they put into this game and the money that they will put into the subsequent development of the games that would come after is going to be heavily dependent on how successful this game is.
Nah, I don't see that.
I definitely think so.
I don't see that. I don't know what they've spent so far. I mean, they've already canned one version of the game in favor of developing it in-house. So that's already a considerable amount of money that they've put behind it. But at the same time, though, they've probably been working on this thing, the assets for this thing, for many years. When was the first time that we actually saw the Final Fantasy VII like redone trailer where he's the opening scene?
Years ago?
No.
Longer than that.
That was 2006, bro.
Was it that long ago?
No, it was not 2006.
2006?
I'm almost positive it was that long ago.
No, that was when we got the Final Fantasy 13 Versus trailer. That was not the 7 remake.
Although Omega in the chat is saying Phantasy Star 1 and 2 got a PS2 remake only released in Japan that changed a few story elements. But they were kind of bad.
Fair enough, I guess.
So it happened, I guess.
Yeah, the PS3 tech demo. When was...
That's it. The PS3 tech demo.
Yeah.
Was it that long?
I'm telling you guys, they have been tooling around with doing this forever. And I mean, it really started when they started making the assets for things like Advent Children and for Dirge of Cerberus.
Yeah, and asking how else can we use these.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what makes me think that this is a marketing ploy. Like, this is a marketing decision more than it was an internal, like, yes, it's time to do Final Fantasy VII again. This was an amazing story. Let's make it fucking amazing. You know?
I mean, for me, I look at FF7 Remake. I'm excited for it, but I have zero love for the game. Mm-hmm. I do not give a shit about FF7. So if they screwed it up, see, to me, it wouldn't
make any difference. But that's sort of where I fall in, is that, like, I'm excited for it because it's Final Fantasy and 7's a good game, and I'm gonna play it. But I'm not, if it's not that great, I'm not that concerned. But I'm still gonna give it the chance to be its own thing. I'm not holding so much of the old game to this one because the context of when it's released is completely different. And on top of that, you're going to be able to do more things with a re-release. You're going to be able to do more things with new technology, new assets, more time to tell the story. So I'm giving the creator that freedom. I think every creator should be able to have that freedom.
Oh, Square Enix lost that latitude with me years ago.
That's with you. And that's fine. Yeah. I'm saying
I am a lapsed Square Enix fan around the time of 12. It was really about 13.
I was about to say, because 12, is where... bad story, pretty fun to play game.
Except I think I played it for like 15 hours, put it down, and then had to wait until my internet was out for 3 days to go back and replay it like 5 years later.
No, story is
right?
12. Track.
So 13 was really where I started to go down this, like, this really big, like, opinion is just falling off.
13 is terrible.
With Square Enix. And, I've never recovered from that. Mm-hmm. I don't have the ability to say, I'm going to put my faith in Square Enix for this one. I don't have that. I have to be critical of everything that they put out, or else if I'm not, I am definitely 100% going to be disappointed and pissed off.
Well, I don't feel that passionately about it, to be straight up. Like, I simply don't. Like, I think it'll be fine. I think it'll be a good game. I'll play it. And if it's not, dude, I spent $60 on way worse.
You didn't spend 13 years defending Square Enix on a podcast.
No,
so.
It's true, which is, I wouldn't have did that.
I mean, that's...
I think that's the difference.
If you need to know my emotional attachment to Square Enix, I spent a long... Well, let me be fair. I spent about 8 years...
8 years defending,
eight years defending them.
Defending them. Definitely not defending
and
them.
And then the rest of the time, definitely not defending them and actually giving my real opinion. But, like, honestly, I still hold a little bit of that, right? Like, I still hold on to, you know, a little part of me wants Square Enix to be good again.
So I ask you this question. This game comes out, and by every definable metric, it's good. Not just good, real good. Then are you still angry at it? Are you still somebody who just completely won't try it?
I won't buy it. Not until the full thing is out. Not until all three or four parts
all right,
are out.
I'll give you that. That's understandable.
Here's actually a much more likely scenario in my point of view, right? The first part comes out. And it's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
It's decent.
Yeah.
They do a good job with it. They don't change too much. The second one comes out.
It's okay.
It starts to fall off.
It's all right, but...
That's the Squeenix special.
Exactly. Yeah. By part three and four, if it's still good, if people are still praising it, if the majority opinion is this, they put their time in, they really made this work... I'll give it a try.
See, I don't even think you need to do three games. I think they could do it in two.
I don't know. I think, all right, here's my thoughts on the whole thing.
Yeah.
If they followed the rule of, like, what Game of Thrones did, the books, when they followed the books, everyone loved it, right? Then all of a sudden, the books kind of stopped, and then they got ahead of themselves, and then no one liked it anymore. Final Fantasy VII has this same opportunity, right? They have the base story.
They have the books.
Yes!
They can add things, sure, fine, whatever, but as long as they follow that base storyline...
I feel what you're saying.
They're set in gold.
Because
we already know how it ends.
Yeah, there are certain things about Game of Thrones that they had to change for the books in order to make it work for TV.
And then
TV.
They didn't know what was happening after.
So I'm like, if you have to change the things that make sense... change them.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So if your ultimate goal is to build up to X, you really do have to start introducing those elements at the very beginning, because it would be garbage as fuck if Game of Thrones came out and the first opening scene wasn't the one of the White Walkers. It was the one of Ned just chopping the guy's head off. And then all of a sudden, by the end of it, Winterfell's getting overrun by zombies and White Walkers.
Where the hell did that come from?
Where the fuck do these things come from?
Why did Walking Dead invade my Game of Thrones?
Exactly. So because that was set up from the very opening scene, then...
And they checked in back in with the White Walkers.
Exactly. So I think it's more... I'm not nearly saying Square Enix has the chops to pull off that level of storytelling. I feel you. I get it. I'm just saying, from a storyteller's point of view, that is how you have to do it. Because if you do it any other way, it's gonna start... You know what it's going to feel like? It's going to feel like Necron. You remember Necron?
I do remember Necron.
Yeah. What is Necron? For those who don't know,
the final boss of Final Fantasy IX shows up at the last minute.
Why? Exactly.
Because Kuja was too easy.
Exactly. Exactly.
He wasn't even being possessed by him.
No.
Nothing.
Exactly. So you don't want that. You don't want that.
Yeah, no.
So
I get you.
That's how I feel.
I would like to share that amount of optimism, but I don't. I can't. I've been hurt too many times, Norris. No,
Square Enix has beaten the hope out of you and me, Nate.
Oh, absolutely.
Systematically.
All right, we got to take a break here on...
We got to talk about gay stuff.
I know. That's the third segment. Coming up next on Checkpoint AFK, is Final Fantasy as a game series uniquely positioned to talk about issues of gender identity and sexuality? Stick around. That conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint AFK.
Esports is the fastest growing area in collegiate athletics, and Checkpoint XP on campus keeps you up to speed on all the exciting action.
From varsity and club esports tournaments to college curriculums focused on gaming, each week, Checkpoint XP on campus brings you more than just stats and scores.
We're digging to school rivalries, scouting, scholarships, and talking with players and coaches.
Catch new episodes of Checkpoint XP on campus Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
And on demand 24/7 on YouTube, Twitch, radio.com, and always at CheckpointXP.com.
Catch new episodes of Checkpoint XP on campus Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and on demand 24/7 on YouTube, Twitch, radio.com, and always at CheckpointXP.com.
Checkpoint XP on campus, the show for collegiate video gaming and esports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Don't go AFK on us.
Follow us online at CheckpointXP.com.
Checkpoint AFK.
Welcome back to Checkpoint AFK. CheckpointXP.com is where you can subscribe to the podcast. I want to thank all, 31 of you hanging out with us live at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Make sure you go follow us over on Twitch so that you can join us live for all of our shows. On Wednesday, or on Thursdays, we've got Checkpoint XP on campus.
That's right.
On Fridays, we've got episodes of Checkpoint AFK and a whole lot more coming soon. So make sure you follow us. That's twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. All right. So the one portion of the trailer that we didn't get to talk about, it took up about a third of the trailer, and that's the honeybee in sequence. This is, I think, going to be very interesting to see how this is portrayed in 2020. When the game originally came out, the honeybee in sequence was very much played for laughs. haha, your main character is in a dress. Mm-hmm. And that's how all of the characters internally in the game treated it. It was a big goof off. Mm-hmm. Yep. There was a lot of, you know, jokes, the peephole jokes that existed in the Honeybee Inn. It was really just kind of
his camp.
It was kind of Square Enix's opportunity to shove in a whole bunch of homophobia in one place. And so we are it is confirmed now that we are going to be going to the remade Honeybee Inn. And a big part of this trailer was showing off Cloud in the dress. We talked about this week on the National Radio Show, which you can find the podcast over at our website, checkpointxp.com. And I think that, you know, a lot of people, because of the way that it's being portrayed in this sequence, are hailing it as progressive. But I don't know how I feel about this.
I think.
Okay. So obviously Chad and I are here to weigh in on this one as the LGBT representation on the show.
Are you implying that we brought you in as tokens?
Yes.
A little bit, yeah. But
I would never do
that. I'm sorry, as a cishet bro, I'm not about to sit around and make a comment on this one without the proper representation.
You know what? That's kind of a good point. Because had it been you, me, Robbie, and Weird Beard.
Not great.
Yeah, no. The optics on that would have been fantastic.
I'd actually watch that one more than I'd watch this. To be fair.
So, Chad, do you want to start?
All right, sure. I mean, I guess the one thing, and basing this off the trailer, which I try not to watch trailers, like I said earlier, because I just hate being ruined by it. I don't want to be whatever. The idea that I think they're going with is like the whole celebration of what it is, like very RuPaul Drag Race kind of celebration. RuPaul. So I'm wondering if like I need to see the actual scene play out.
Yeah.
That's the real thing behind it. Sure, it's like this whole song and dance. I really loved it. My gay heart exploded. There's a character. Cloud almost kissed the dude.
Did you get a very Moulin Rouge Ziggler vibe from the beginning of that?
A little bit.
Yeah.
See, yeah. So I mean, like, a little parts of me, I'm like, I'm in. Mm-hmm. But then again, you allude to, there was a little bit of, like, the homophobia in the original that I remember. And it's kind of just like, are they just changing that part completely and making this a big, fun song and dance just to avoid it?
Yeah. By the way, can we mention Don Corneo existing in a post-Harvey Weinstein Me Too era?
Yes.
Did
he lose some weight? I remember Don.
He's still pretty
fat. He was like a pudgy guy.
Oh, is he? I don't know.
He's a little pudgy.
But I mean, the thing with me, at least from the outside looking in, is I kind of appreciate the Don Corneo still being there, because you still need a creep ass.
He needs to be a creeper.
Yeah.
Well, for the scene to work.
For the scene to work, he needs to be there.
I mean, if they're pointing out things like the Me Too movement, having that Harvey Weinstein character makes sense. These people exist even in this fantasy
land. I think you guys are right that this scene really tees up an opportunity to comment on Me Too and to comment on gender identity and to comment on homosexuality. Maybe even to right some of the wrongs that initial scene did in kind of throwing the
jokes.
Yeah, the homophobia jokes around, right? I've been so abused by Square Enix in the past. I just don't know that I trust Square Enix to handle this with
tact. I mean, the writing is still pretty atrocious. You know, it's still kind of heavy-handed. It's still really weird.
It's still, let's throw Cloud in a chair, put on three dashes of makeup, and now he passes.
He's a girl.
And now he's a girl, yeah. But I
not
mean,
how that works.
But if we look at Final Fantasy and as a series, they kind of have never shied away from at least playing with gender as a plot. As a
that's
plot
true.
Point.
Going all the way back to Final Fantasy V and Ferris.
Yeah, you're right.
You're absolutely right.
It's they have a history of it, and not to mention my favorite gay couple in all of video games, being Fang and Vanille. They're gay. Period. I don't care what anybody says. But
Max and Chloe's better, but I'll give you Fang and Vanille.
They're so cute.
I will give you, that's a way better romance than Eunice and Tita. Or Yuna and Titus.
FGC is invaded.
I've got Evo on the brain.
I'm just saying, so Final Fantasy has had, you know, this history of, you know, having at least the illusion of gay characters and a gay culture within their games.
And yet, I'll point out, as someone who's playing through FF11 with Sarah right now, still no gay marriage allowed in FF11 in 2020. They haven't fixed that problem. There are two people on the staff who write for that game.
They went to the goddamn lengths of writing a lisp in for one of their main characters for Wings of the Goddess.
We are playing through that story right now.
Tell me that's easy dialogue to read.
No, it's a nightmare.
It's fucking obnoxious. It takes longer to read because you're like, what is he mean?
What is he trying to say? Yeah.
And you have to like say it out loud sometimes.
And then you sound like a jackass.
Yes.
Yeah, you do.
I don't really know what the culture of Square Enix is, because you're right. Like, on the one hand, they do seem to do kind of progressive stuff with like Ferris, and I mean, how long, like, that happened in the early 90s. Like, that has always been a part of Square Enix's, you know, cultural identity. Mm-hmm. It's corporate identity. But at the same time, you've also got the weirdness of the original Honeybee scene and like all of the different, like, mm-hmm. like all of the kind of gross stuff that is oozed out of Square Enix.
So I think I'll ask this, because I'm curious, is that would you have preferred for them to go back and quote unquote fix it, or would you have rather them taking it out to begin with? Because
that's what I was about to bring up.
Yeah.
If they took it out entirely,
yeah,
and imagine that weird PR behind, like, oh, they had to go back and take out that scene. It's almost like evading like something.
Yeah,
like,
no, you're right.
Like a capitulation.
Make clear that I do feel for Square Enix on this one. If there is a definition of a scenario that's really a no-win scenario,
that's fair.
This was a good example of it, because there, even in the LGBT community, people were going to be pissed either way.
Yeah, you're not going to be happy one way or another. Someone's going to get mad because it's like a misrepresentation of what whoever, you know, it doesn't even have to be LGBT. It could be, you know, I don't know, whoever. Mm-hmm. But still, it's just very interesting that they're celebrating it in the trailer, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if they're like really, really pushing, like, we didn't take it out.
Yeah.
No one.
So you're saying the trailer is queer bait?
It, kind of. I mean, the one thing about the gay community, at least that I'm part of, like, mm-hmm. I mean, there's different subsects, but I know that there's people who are going to be super fucking excited that's in there. Sure. I got a little giddy, and I was like, yeah, cool, as like the theater gay kind of person I am, that excited me. But the more like typical, like, more masculine, kind of low-key, yeah, not that way, might have a completely different aspect. Who loved Final Fantasy VII because it was a very masculine game, if you really look at it.
Yeah. That's true.
So, no, that's a good point. Let me ask you this. What is the criteria that needs to be hit? Like, right? Like, imagine you're playing Operation, right? What do you need to get out of the scene, and where do they push it too far? Like, kind of define some of the boundaries that at least it would exist for you.
All right, so Chad, have you take it from a sexuality standpoint? I'll take it from a gender perspective.
Sure.
Okay. They're walking a real fine line in gender politics here.
Okay.
Because as far as we know, unless they're planning to do a very big change to Cloud's character that we do not know about, he is cishet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We assume.
Yeah.
Which that would be a storyline I would accept.
Unless they're going to do the 4-panel comic that exists out there where it's like, Cloud, why are you still wearing that? And then he's on the motorcycle. Seriously, you need, like, just, if this is something, hey, you just need to tell me.
Hold on. Straight up, if we get to the end of this game and we find out that, like the last scene is like Cloud and Aerith going into a freaking Ulta and buying some makeup and like he's super into it and that's his new character arc, you're going to have a lot of people in my particular section of the LGBT community who are thrilled, and a lot of white boys on the internet who are going to be very angry.
I mean, yeah, there's going to be a lot of Chad's drinking monster. Not you, Chad, but like just a lot of dudes named Chad with a backwards hat drinking monster cans.
Meanwhile,
it's going to be the Kyles.
Yeah, it's going to be the Kyles.
No, but like, first of all, you can't tell me that in the DLC outfit
selector option in the game that you won't be able to keep Cloud in the dress permanently. You're going to be able to do that.
That
flat out
absolutely needs to be a skin.
Yes.
That
absolutely
needs to be a skin.
Well, we've seen how angry people get when you're able to choose your pronouns in the game, so... see how that goes over.
Oh God, I can just
but
can just see the section of Twitter that would be upset. Dudes in hats with sunglasses.
Yeah, shitty video game tags going off the edge.
Yeah,
what takes it too far though? Like I think that's the thing.
I think that's what I'm a little bit more interested in. Like when would it cross the line?
I think the only way it would because the way that they're doing it is like this big celebration. It's like a show. Yeah. It's not so much like at a skeevy bar or motel. Was motel
that was,
before?
Right? That was the thing. Said, like the whole scene previously is that this was a really seedy, skeevy, terrible place town to be.
This is a bordello.
Yeah,
and it's freaking him saying like love knows no bounds, least of all gender or whatever he says.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, if we're going that route, you can do it well, but. Again, if it was another company, I'd feel better.
But it's like,
I don't know.
But it's like, if you go through all the fanfare and it's da 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 da, and then behind the curtain, you realize it's like this massive human trafficking effort. You know what I mean? Like, is that pushing it too far, or is that actually paying a service to? How, something that actually could plague a community, because
I think that'd just be too much in one
thing. Is it too much in one thing?
If you're going to talk about the Me Too movement, gender equality, sexuality, human trafficking.
Let's just throw human trafficking as a garnished, yes.
Now we're going to deal with the AIDS epidemic.
People pissed about AIDS epidemic. Let's just throw that in there. Coronavirus. Let's talk about that too. People can just be pissed at this and then they'll avoid the rest of the game. Maybe that's
because because to me, I think that was the one part. Because I went back and played 7 fairly recently, about 2 or 3 years ago, and that was the one part of it that I thought would have been really interesting if even all they did was have just like 1 or 2 sentences to it. Is that like, oh, wait, no, this is a brothel and they're kidnapping people to be sold into sexual slavery. Like,
That's a lot for a Final Fantasy game.
Is it?
Think
about every Final Fantasy game you play. Is it? Because I don't think it is.
Listen, I believe it if it was a religious angle to it. I don't know if I just believe that they're going to go down the route of sexual slavery.
Yeah.
Sexual slavery. They'd probably put in some type of human trafficking, but I don't think it'd be a sexual nature.
Yeah.
If they were to do it, it'd be like the Black Mage thing with Vivi in 9, where they're all soulless.
Manufactured people, child soldiers.
That I would believe.
We can talk about child soldiers, but we can't talk about human trafficking.
That's not throwing this all in with human sexuality and all these other things. That's just
too
much.
Matt, all right, fair.
I do think the way that people react to being told about child soldiers and child sex slaves are way different.
Yeah.
Way different.
I mean,
my biggest concern, honestly, and I don't mean to make this about where it's from, but this is coming out of Japan, who are not exactly up to the modern standard on concepts of homosexuality and gender politics.
No.
I actually find that somewhat strange and kind of not all the way accurate.
Well, think about the way that androgyny as a aesthetic
androgyny,
has
maybe.
Yeah,
no. But androgyny,
the sexuality, no.
But androgyny, pedagogy, because in samurai class back in Japan, you took a boyfriend, you took a young man. If you were in a samurai class and you helped raise him and it became, that's slightly predatory, but that was accepted to have a young male lover.
It was accepted as long as you never talked about it.
All right, fair.
And you never openly acknowledged it.
All right, fair.
It was an unspoken acceptance.
All right,
and
fair.
Even today, it's the reason you never see any kind of lesbian stories come out of Japan, because any kind of female-on-female relationship is seen as a childish thing. Oh, you'll grow out of that as soon as you get to high school. Mm-hmm. That is very much how those stories are told.
Okay, I dig.
Because they're just a little behind the times on those concepts. It's a cultural thing.
Well, I mean, there's enough hentai out there that has various configurations of
relationships.
Yes.
You know what there's a staggering lack of?
What's that?
Woman on woman.
Woman on woman.
It's very uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is. I mean, don't get me wrong. They know there's an American audience, so there is some. But no, it's pretty uncommon.
There's much more. There's much more male on male.
Oh, yeah. That's way more common.
You know, erotic literature, if you will.
you tiptoed around that so hard.
I don't want to say that word.
Say yoi.
Yoi? What is that?
Yoi.
Yoi, yoi for male on male and yuri for woman on woman. Yeah.
But I mean, the fact that they even have terms for it, like, that implies a certain amount
leave it to the porn industry to lead the way, always.
But to Joe's point, it is, you know, the numbers are nowhere near each other.
Yeah.
And so I get what you're saying. It's just, I feel like Japan, like many places, has a weird double standard to it of like, oh, we'll read all about it and we'll jack off to it, but we'll definitely not talk about it.
Oh, yeah,
and
I think
when it comes to Final Fantasy and just JRPGs in particular, I find it very interesting because you talk about a game like Persona 5 in which the very first story arc is about molestation. And about, you know, essentially a child predator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how well that it was done and how serious the game took it.
I never saw a backlash about that.
Well, at the same time, there was no backlash. Yeah.
We're talking FF5?
No,
in Persona 5.
I'm sorry.
Because they did
it so
well.
I'm like, I don't remember that part.
Yeah. No, because they did it so well.
Yeah.
And so I don't see why it would be that large of a stretch for FF7 to at least approach that subject.
If they did it, I just don't think it would. I don't know. I guess I could see it, and it wouldn't alarm me if that happened. Fine, as long as it didn't make it seem like these like overly gay guys were the ones doing it. These are the deviants doing it. That'd be too far.
Actually, you're right.
Or if there's like that Easter egg where it's like you go into the bathroom and they're like, why is there a hole on the stall? Like, let me look through it. No. Like, I don't want none of that.
Not how that works.
I don't want any of that. So any of that kind of stuff, like if they make it seedy and feel like oppressive in some way, that's the point.
Yeah,
but if they make it a big celebration, fine.
Yeah, if there happens to be an incredibly popular gay bar in Midgar, cool.
I believe it.
That's fine.
I'm sold.
Yeah, there should be.
Yeah.
That's a big enough city center. There should be a healthy population of gay people.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, I'm fine with that. But yeah, if it is the underbelly of the city and it's where all the deviants gather,
that's what it was in the first game.
To your point, in the original, it was very much a ha ha.
Yeah.
Oh, look at all the gay people that we have here, and the cross dressing, and all the deviants. Like, that era has to have passed if they're going to do it again.
Yeah, you know, you guys had mentioned something when we first started talking about this, that the trailer made it feel very sort of like RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah, very Moulin Rouge.
I think that that's absolutely like an aesthetic and a feel that they should lean into.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think that that would be the exact right and appropriate tone as a, you know, cishet dude that I would want from that. I wouldn't be offended by that. I would be able to get into it, right? Like, I watch RuPaul's Drag Race for fun.
First of all, it's a great show.
I'm not embarrassed by it. I think it's a great show. I've always thought RuPaul was a phenomenal performer.
It's top model, but much more entertaining.
Yes, exactly. And
bitchy.
Like, honestly, the talent on there is very real. So, like, I think if they tried to bring that same energy to Final Fantasy VII, that would be very welcome.
Yeah.
And I think I want to like this game. For all of the braying that I did before about how it's going to be terrible, I want to like this game when it comes out. I want to have fun playing it when I play it. I want to enjoy the experience. And, you know, little things like adding a character or changing the story, I'd probably be able to ride with that and get through that. But if they fuck up on this one, fuck up the honeybee, there's no way I'm playing past it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first time.
If we get the first week or like, because I'll have it day one. If we come in day one and like the people who got her is like, yo, did you get to the honeybee yet? Like, that's not, that is not, yeah,
that's like the serious tone. Like,
that's not the tone you want. You don't want, like, bro.
You got to the honeybee.
If we get to that part and, yeah, we find out that those are the deviants who are starting the child sex ring, that's going to be a bad showing.
I just don't want to go through the scene and be like, oof. Like,
yeah, right. That's what exactly. I don't want.
I don't, you know, like, dude.
I think they're smart and they'll just try to sail through that scene as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
I had to live that life with Mass Effect Andromeda. I don't need that again.
The reason why I think so is because Mark Hamill plays Don Corneo. So they're going to put a lot of emphasis on the fact that this is the bad guy,
you know,
not these people.
That's an aspect that I didn't even consider.
Yeah.
They have a marquee actor that's slated to play this big slime ball in this scene.
Yeah, you're right.
There's going to absolutely be emphasis on it. There's no way that there can't
be. That's what I'm saying. So
he's got to be the villain.
This is an arc of the game. He's a sub-villain. Yeah. He's not a side villain like he was in this game. Right. I fully expect that we'll be spending copious amounts of time in Walmart and in and around the Honeybee Inn.
Actually, can I just say that, you know, when we were talking about, like, where the story divides earlier, if he had been the ultimate villain of the first part of this game, I would have been fine with that.
I would have been totally fine with that. Yeah, I think it's harder to do because then again, you get to the part and you talk about what Chad said he would worry about. Because then you start talking about all these deviants down here at Walmart and think about all the NPCs you would have to fight.
Yeah.
That would be like weird, campy, like, like NPCs that, you know, and enemies you would have to fight. Like, you know, the super glam drag queen enemies you would have to fight.
I would actually kind of like that, but
I would
can see how people would get upset about that.
Yeah, people would get upset.
Well, like, what's the final fight character that is transgender?
Poison,
right? Like, when people found out about that, they lost their fucking mind, right? Like, what makes you think that they wouldn't do that here?
And even then, that was just a cop-out because parents were upset. This is how fucking stupid, like, middle America is. Parents complained about Final Fight because you fought a girl character named Poison, another one named Roxy.
Yep.
So Capcom came out and said that Poison is actually a guy. It's just a post-op transgender person. And that somehow made it more okay to beat that person up because they used to be a guy.
Well, the problem is like, okay, so I'm going to take Joe on this one.
Yo.
Because if that was the case, it makes it worse to say, oh, that's not actually a girl, it's a guy. Even if it's post-op, no one wants to be considered a guy anymore if it's post-op. And that's your gender now.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not.
Yeah, don't dead name me and certainly don't dead gender
right.
me.
Yeah. So that I would think nowadays that would make that 1,000 times.
But in 1992, that was the response. That parents didn't want to see their kids playing a game where they beat up a girl, and so they made Poison trans.
Yeah,
and so now you're okay to be beat up because you're trans.
Wow,
I didn't know that. Boy, isn't that been a fun history lesson?
Yeah. So,
an era where using the panic defense is still somehow acceptable,
but like, Square Enix is uniquely positioned to be able to do something about this.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they don't have to perpetuate that.
No, they have a chance to say, hey, you know what? The 90s were a wild time. We made a choice in the game that made sense for that era.
Sure.
Looking back now, a bit insensitive.
Let's do it better this time. Let me be clear. I don't think Square Enix needs to apologize.
I'm not asking them to apologize.
Like, I don't think they need to, like, fix the scene, but I think that they can kind of undo some of the damage that was accidentally maybe put out there into the world.
They can do it better, and, you know, I think, at least for me, Nate, I'm with you, that if this part of the game is in any way, like, cringe or messed up,
it's a dead stop for me. I'll never go back.
It's gonna be really, really hard to get through the rest of the game.
Dude, if FF7... If I get to hate that game twice,
yeah,
like, that'll be
part
of me would be like, all right, good. Like, my take on it the first time around was good. Then
I'll put it this way. I already have to reckon with Barrett just as a character.
Yeah, well, the voice acting.
Yeah, I already have. This is my second time of having to reckon with Barrett as a character.
Oh, so, that's how Asians think black people really act.
So if I gotta get through that, and I gotta get through the Walmart.
Is he the only black character in Final Fantasy?
No.
Saz.
Oh, Saz, who was better.
Better.
Not perfect.
But better.
But better.
We haven't seen or heard this character yet. No.
Saz? Yeah. No, Saz is in 13.
Oh, 13.
Yeah.
Saz is 7 in general.
Saz is pretty good.
Can I just black character in 7 yet.
Can I tell you the moment that Saz was ruined for me as a character? When they implied that he killed himself and then like two scenes later he didn't?
Yeah. It was a bummer.
Like I don't want to see him die, but like
it'd have been powerful.
It would have been on Aerith level.
It'd have been absurdly powerful.
It would have been amazing.
Yeah. Great talking point for sure. Like for them to like again, if they hit on human trafficking or something major, like
we can hit on suicidal ideation while we're at it.
But again, like this is my part of my core concern about Square Enix is because they set things up for like a big moment like that, and then they pull the punch.
Aerith was the only time they went through with it.
Yes! Yeah,
when's the last time they really went through on a punch?
Aerith and 2.014.
Ending the 1.0 era.
Yeah. Those are the only two times where Square Enix were like, you know what? We're going to do it.
Yep.
And they say, yep.
I'll give you that.
Do it. But I agree. And I'm just wondering if this game, because everybody knows Aerith is going to die, whatever.
Not a big surprise.
Not if you buy the DLC. Yeah.
Aerith lives.
But I wonder through all of this, what is going to be there to surprise me? That's the bigger thing.
Why they add these characters.
Yeah, that's why they add these characters. But I think that's part of through the honeybee scene, what they're able to do. Because if that part of the game is actually really good and really entertaining, and Mark Hamill does what Mark Hamill does and plays the fuck out of Dom Corneo.
Yep.
Like, that's the potential the shit can have. And if it's
It could be amazing.
If it's there,
yeah.
At the quality that I think we've seen so far, especially out of the voice acting and the motion capture and shit, dude, this could be some special shit.
I'll tell you this, okay? We talked earlier about whether I would or wouldn't pick up Final Fantasy VII, and I said I'll wait until all parts are out because I'm going to judge the whole work and not just a portion. I will add one caveat to that.
Mm-hmm.
I will pick up one for part one when it's new if the honeybee scene is spectacular.
It's tasteful.
If it's... Okay. I mean, if they knock it out of the fucking park, I'll be like, all right.
Because, I mean, great. It is...
Because you buy yourself some goodwill with that.
Yes,
with
exactly. That all right.
Because there's really only three centerpieces to that first Act of Seven.
Yes.
Is you blow up the reactor, the wall market scene, and the plate falling. Those are your only three big set pieces in that act.
Yeah.
Period. So you get those three right. Everything else in between should be easy.
Yeah, because the rest of it is just fill in the gaps. Yeah.
I mean, we know Don Corneo is going to be great because Mark Hamill's always great.
Yeah, when's the last time you saw him in something and you were disappointed?
Never.
Voice acting.
Return to Jedi.
He was...
voice acting.
He was a voice actor in a 1984 animated film called Wizards.
Stop. Obscure, my guy.
And it was okay.
He's
still okay.
See?
It's still okay.
Yeah, you got to let me finish, Norris.
No, because you already be pulling these references. Is out of your ass, and I don't be one to hear all that.
It's a Ralph Bakshi film.
Whatever.
Came out the same week as Star Wars.
Oh.
Mark Hamill in two movies released in the same week.
Damn.
That's unfortunate.
I think only Keanu Reeves has done that before.
It got trounced.
He had good odds that week.
Yeah, he did. By the way, he was getting a check no matter what.
Did you see Keanu Reeves on the set of the new Matrix movie, by the way?
Looking peak Keanu.
Looking like he just rolled out of bed and went to get coffee.
Peak Keanu.
He looks like he got dressed for the set of Point Break.
He's got a scraggly beard, a beanie on. He just looks like a regular dude.
I mean,
does not look like Neo.
Anyway, That's going to be it.
I think that's going to do it for today's Checkpoint AFK. Thanks so much for joining us. CheckpointXP.com is where you can find out more info about the show, interviews from past episodes, and a whole lot more, and more coming soon. We've got brand new shows in development and a new show coming way sooner than you think. Keep your eyes tuned to CheckpointXP.com today for a brand new show. All new. I don't know what else to tell you to get you there. CheckpointXP.com. Stay up to date on all the latest by following us on social media. That's CheckpointXP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. And if you like the show, consider dropping by our Apple Podcast feed and giving us a rating and review that we'll read here on the top of the program. Checkpoint XP is a production of Beasley Esports XP. For the Checkpoint XP crew, Joe Sloan, Chad Callahan, Weird Beard, and Norris Howard, my name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.